Magic Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm Megan.
And we like to talk about Disney things.
We do.
Specifically this week, we're going to be talking about Monsters University.
Yep.
The very first ever Pixar prequel.
I thought you were going to say sequel, and I was like, Joel, what are all those Toy Stories we talked about? What is Cars 2?
Well, they were going to make a, remember they were going to make a Monsters, Inc. sequel.
Right.
Not Pixar, was, but their whole Circle 7 situation had a...
That.
Monsters, Inc. 2, Lost in Scaradice.
Yeah.
Which is such a good title.
That's a good title. It's a shame if they don't get to use that.
That feels like a really good, like, Disney World ride.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you're going through and all, there's, like, pop-ups and, like, you're going through doors and that's what it needs to be.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not a sequel movie, but, God, that would be a good Disney World ride.
It's still, like, really strange to me that we don't have Monsters, Inc. rides.
Yeah.
There's like the scare floor where you can like meet people, but there's not like a ride, which is really a shame. I feel like in general, the parks have really not done as much with Pixar stuff as they could have, which is
It's curious because it's kind of a, you know, well, it's a Disney World, not a Pixar world, but Pixar's a little bit there.
Yeah.
I mean, Pixar's enough for us to talk about it on the podcast. It's Disney enough.
Disney-ish. And Disney adjacent.
Yeah, it was like, so it gets into that weird cloud of like, you know, what's Disney? And then what's Disney?
Yeah. What is that sort of magic formula?
Je ne sais quoi. So Monsters, Inc. or Monsters University, that's going to happen a lot on this podcast. Just FYI, that's going to happen a lot. It came out June 21st, 2013. Which is about a decade after.
Yeah, it was a long time.
Maybe a little more than that. So it's been a while. So there's a line in Monsters, Inc. where they're arguing, and Mike says to Sully, "You've been jealous of my looks since the fourth grade."
Oh, no.
And it's this tiny throwaway line.
Oh, no.
It's just a little joke.
Entirely incorrect.
So... they apparently tried forever to make that line fit.
No.
Like, they tried to move the whole thing to elementary school to see if it would work there.
No.
They tried to have them meet in elementary school and then fast forward to university setting. They tried all kinds of things.
Just leave it. It's just hyperbole.
And so...
it's fine.
John Lasseter apparently finally had to step in and be like, "I really appreciate that you're trying to hold to the integrity of this line.
This one line.
But you gotta do what's right for the movie."
That's fair. That's
so,
fair.
They have officially retconned it that since the fourth grade is a common expression in the Monsters universe for a very long time.
That's perfect. Good job,
so, guys. So it's still like, no mess-ups in Pixar movies. That's just...
No, never.
You didn't know that, but now you do.
Uh-huh. Knowledge.
So if you thought you'd found something, you haven't.
No.
Monsters University is also the first Pixar movie to use global illumination, which is a new lighting system. That's part of the rendering system.
Hmm.
Basically, since Toy Story up until this point... they have manually
made
all of the shadows
and
all of the reflections. And it's just gotten more and more complicated as they had more and more complicated models and stuff to work with.
Yeah.
So global illumination helps them to just kind of automate it and basically work like lights work.
That's nice. That's good.
So
I'm happy for them.
Yes, me too, because apparently they've been doing that since Toy Story. And that's insane.
Having to render all of these monsters with scales and fur and all sorts of nonsense would have been a really big pain to have to light all those individually. So,
this is also, this and Cars 2 are the only Pixar films not to be nominated for Best Animated Feature at this point. Incidentally, both Cars 1 and Monsters, Inc. were nominated for... Best Animated Picture, but they're the only two Pixar movies not to win.
Weird.
So.
What won those years?
Okay, Monsters, Inc. was up against Shrek.
Oh.
Shrek won that year.
Okay.
And Cars was up against Happy Feet.
Oh.
Which, like, okay.
I mean,
like,
that was a sad year in animation.
Cars is kind of, like, the reasonable one if you're like, what Pixar movie didn't win? Oh, probably Cars, but then you're like, but Happy Feet beat it, so it's like,
Happy Feet.
All right.
Okay.
Cars had the hardest...
See, the Happy Feet like, what was happening?
So, yeah, that happened.
Weird.
I mean, I'm assuming it was, you know, the global warming message. It came out at the right time where everybody was into that global warming.
I kind of forgot that there was a global warming message in that movie under the piles of tap dancing and rapping penguins.
So, yeah.
Mm. Yep.
So the movie starts out with a nice old flashback.
Yes.
To, I'm guessing, an elementary school time frame.
Field trip.
Yes, they go on a field trip to Monsters, Inc., which it's really cool to see, like, new footage of the scare floor.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the stuff's like, okay, that's entirely new locations. It's not, you know.
Yeah, but
it's not the same thing I've seen a thousand times a different.
Seeing anything at Monsters Incorporated in this movie is really cool.
Yeah. So we get pretty quick that Mike's this sort of, like, odd kid out.
Yeah.
And he's the odd kid out to the point where the teacher is counting kids and goes, 18, 19, we're missing one. Where's Mike?
Yeah.
So there's 20 kids, yet he still has to be the odd one out to get paired with the teacher.
Yep.
Which is, like, really odd man out.
Yeah, extra odd man out.
To have to pair with the teacher when there's an even number of kids. So we're at the scare floor. Mike is entranced with the concept of being a scare.
Yeah.
He sneaks into a room and is quiet, which basically is what he's got going for him here.
Yeah, really small and quiet.
He's really small, really quiet. And so he isn't seen by the scare, and the scare is impressed with that.
Yeah.
And gives him his hat.
It's Monsters University. Yeah.
It's Indiana Jones.
Yes. With monsters in college.
Yes.
You know.
It's the ceremonial passing of the hat moment.
With monsters in college.
From Last Crusade.
Yes.
Tiny Mike's pretty adorable.
Tiny Mike's so cute. He's so cute and little and
so,
a little beach ball.
Yeah. I really like, and we'll get to it when we get to the characters, I really like the character designs on Mike and Sully, how they are
different.
Yes.
But still definitely the same character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
they did a really good job with that.
Figuring out just exactly what to adjust to mm-hmm. make college versions of these characters.
Yeah.
So I am really impressed with those.
So from there we go to Mike's first day of college.
Yes. We throughout the opening credits kind of get him studying and
applying
and he makes it to college and then we're at college.
Yeah. I really love the score in this movie. Almost all the score sounds like college fight songs, like football fight songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really, really clever. And it gets stuck in my head really bad. Like,
yeah.
I was having it this morning and I had already watched it like yesterday. And I was like, yeah, it's stuck in my head now. And they also do give one of the songs lyrics eventually. They're like,
yes.
They're like alma mater song.
When they're singing their song at the end of the scare games.
Yeah.
So he's going to go meet his roommate. Which is Randall.
Yes.
Which is really cool. I like Randall.
I like Randall too, and I honestly, like, between the last time I watched Monsters, Inc. before seeing this movie for the first time in theaters, I had probably honestly almost forgotten about Randall. Because he was, like, the villain, but he wasn't really the villain until, like, towards the end of the movie, so you didn't really pay attention to him during
the film. He was the annoying character that was mean and a jerk, but not the
villain, yeah. So it wasn't like, I had probably totally forgotten about him. So, yeah. And on the first day of class, we get to meet Dean Hardscrabble. It's Helen Mirren, isn't it?
Yes, it's Helen Mirren.
It's awesome.
Dean Hardscrabble is the scariest monster they've designed.
She's really, really
holy
crazy.
Cow.
In a really, really, like, intimidating way. Not just in, like, a spooky, scary sort of way, but yeah, she definitely has that sort of air of a dean to her.
Mm-hmm. But, like, I remember seeing her in the previews and stuff, and, yeah, she looks really scary. She's got, like, the hard scowl and the wings and the dark lighting and stuff. But then she has, like, this, like, millipede body.
Yeah, she's got a whole bunch of little bug legs.
And, like, it's just, it's really unsettling
especially
when she walks.
Like, all little feet making little noises mm-hmm. while she walks. Yeah, it's real creepy.
So it gives me that, like, oh, okay. So they're in the School of Scaring building.
Right.
Which is a combination of inspired by a Carnegie Mellon building and Cthulhu.
Ah, I I can see that.
So, with the monsters and the, like, little tentacle designs.
Yeah. You know, normal things. Normal combos.
Yes. And we also meet Sully here.
Yeah.
In the, and he's the pretty standard. It's not like a crazy off-the-wall thing. It's, you know,
he's
the nerd, and he's the standard Jack, and...
just a bro.
Yeah, he gets by on
He's not a bad bro. Like, he's not ridiculous, but, like, he's a bro.
Yeah. He's always gotten by on his talent and his charm, and mm-hmm. he continues to get by on his talent and his charm.
Yeah.
So, then he steals a pig.
Yeah. Fear-Tech's mascot is a... it's like a little six-legged pig.
Yeah.
He's cute.
So, I like that they do take the time to... have a little bit of, like, world building here.
Yeah.
Where, like, they have, you know, Monsters University, but they also have, like, there's other schools.
Yeah, it's not just one.
There's very brief in the background references to, you know, there's Monsters, Inc., but they power this, you know, city. Mm-hmm. And so then there's, like, Scream Industries and Fear something. And, like, okay. Other companies that, like...
just a little bit more willing
to... yeah, just a little touch to be, like, you know... if you can be like, have you even thought about this? They'd be like, yeah, see?
Yeah, we have, right there.
We'll have to go out and out and make sense of everything. But, like, there
it's
we go.
There, we thought about it.
Yeah.
So, there is a Rush Week party, basically.
Yes.
And Randall wants to go and drags Mike along.
To Roar Omega Roar.
Roar Omega Roar, yeah.
Mike's going to study because there's a test at the end of the semester.
Yeah, at the end of the semester. Which is not for months. It's fine,
no.
Mike. It's fine.
So,
I was not that kid. You can't tell. It was not me.
You would have gone to Roar Omega Roar?
No, I wouldn't have gone to a frat party, but I definitely wouldn't have been studying for a test at the end of the semester on the first day.
So Mike's going to stay, but because Sully's trying to steal the pig and ends up in his room, that's how Mike ends up at the...
at the frat party.
Frat party.
Yep.
And so...
I love all the little frats and sororities in this. My favorite are the pink ones. I don't... is it...
it's not his. His is the goth ones.
I also love the goth ones. I don't know. It's like PKK, maybe?
I don't remember what the cheerleaders are.
I don't remember. But they're my favorites.
Yeah. But we were introduced to Roar Omega Roar, which is like the main antagonist.
And Nathan Fillion. What is his name? He's got like a super like...
I don't know, isn't it like whatever Bradley Uppercrust the Third kind of?
Yeah.
that's from Extremely Goofy Movie. But
same, it is, which is the best.
Same general like hoity toity
kind of
comes from money name.
Yeah.
And so Sully is immediately welcomed into the concept of being a Roar Omega Roar guy, and Mike is not.
And we are also very briefly introduced to the Uzma Kappas. They had a cake. They didn't have a cake anymore.
We get a montage, like a genuine, honest-to-good montage.
Of Sully slacking off and...
Mike studying paying
forever.
Off. Yeah. And so it's throughout the whole semester, and Mike is catching up to and outclassing Sully.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're at the test.
Yeah.
Which is basically just going into a scare room.
Yeah, it really is. There's not much else to it.
Which, okay. I really like that the kid in the bed is less detailed than
the one at the Monsters, Inc. facility.
Yeah. Which can be, like, you know, it's older, they have, you know, developed scare technology.
Or it's, like...
it's a school. They can get
the... for college kids.
Yeah. We don't need to really focus on making this thing...
yeah.
Top shelf. So, Mike and Sully...
get into a fight.
A very quiet fight.
Very quiet fight. The quietest fight. But they knock over... Dean Hardscrabble had, like, a scream in a can... on her
I take it that statue. Like the scream shortage was not a thing yet if they're just like using screams for you know whatevers.
Yeah, I mean it's been, you know, how long has it been, do you think? Between the two?
20 years maybe?
20-25.
So give or take.
That's enough time for a shortage to happen.
Yeah, no, it's reasonable. And so they knock it over, they let the scream loose, and Dean kicks them out.
Yes.
So, because they're also not doing it right.
Yeah.
Mike's not scary, and Sully's not trying, so
no.
Everybody gets kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mike's all depressed. They're in another class. What class are they in?
They're in, like, a scream can design.
Yeah. And Sully is glowering at Mike.
He's so
and
crazy.
It's the funniest thing.
His face. So good.
And he just, it's my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah.
Them walking down the stairs and he's glowering.
He's just so cranky.
And so Mike finds a poster or a flyer for the Scream Games.
Yeah.
So when at the beginning of the movie, he got the poster during rush week, basically.
Yeah.
And it has a little, stamp on it that's like, you know, final sign-up date's January 25th. And never mentioned it, but I was like, that's a long ways away. Like, I don't know if
I'm
doing this. And so I was like, well, maybe Monster World, you know, is different than Human World. And, like, they have a long winter break instead of a long summer break.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that'll come into play later. I was like, I don't know. But then it happens that, you know, it is January 21st. I was like, they didn't just throw that date on there.
Yeah.
I never should have doubted them.
No.
They tried to make this whole movie wrap around the fourth grade line. They're not going to let something like the wrong date be on a flyer.
It's true. I mean, my guess would be they would wait until, I guess, second semester. That would be, like, the start of second semester. And then primarily to, like, get all their rush done.
Yeah.
Because rush takes a while, doesn't it? Oh, I don't know. I was not a sorority girl. You were not a frat boy. So together, we have very little knowledge.
I mean, it takes a while. You should be...
It takes like a couple months.
Yeah, it's like... But you should be done by that point.
Well, yeah. But maybe to get everybody settled in and build camaraderie.
I mean, it's called rush week for a reason.
Well, yeah. But so, that's... the rush week is when you go to all the different...
I mean, but there's also rush, and then there's, like, initiation and hazing that we're not actually hazing because we can't do that anymore. Time period.
I don't think girls do that as much as boys do.
So,
I feel like that's a frat thing, not a sorority thing.
Yeah, totally, but it still takes time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like
it takes time to, like, douse people in strange liquids and...
You can't do make somebody do something for a week if you only have a day to do it.
Be somebody's slave. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I've only seen movies.
So, they're getting ready to finish sign-ups, and Mike signs up with Uzma Kappa.
Yep.
But they're one guy short, and so Sully joins because Dean agrees that if they win the scare games...
Then they all get accepted into the scare program.
Yes.
And if they lose, then Mike gets kicked out of school.
Yes.
Like, outright expelled. Which is really weird.
So...
Like, A, can she do that? She's not the dean of the college. She's the dean of the...
Of the scare program?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure, because they only ever call her dean.
Yeah, but I think when she's first introduced, he says, dean of our scaring program. I don't think she's the dean of the whole college. And on top of that, that seems really petty and weird. Like, why? I mean, I know she is a little bit petty and weird, but, like...
I mean, and... Well, it's an interesting setup because, like, there is clearly a top job in this world.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is what, you know, everybody's doing this, and then they do everything else if they can't do... You know, be a scarer.
But, like...
And I don't know... I was trying to think of something to liken it in our world, and, like, football star is kind of the thing to liken it to, because, like, you know, there's trading cards, and there's, you know, scarer isn't, like, a super rarefied, you know, thing, but it's still... If there's
a higher level position, and it's very specific.
And there seems to be maybe a dozen, maybe up to like 18 scarers that work at, you know, Monsters, Inc. Mm. So it's not like they're going to have
of positions. I would say like a sports star is pretty close there.
But you don't learn to be a sports star at school.
Well, you play in school, though, and if you don't play on the school team, like, if you don't play on a college football team, you're probably not going to end up on a professional football team, right?
Yeah. That's and there is...
How the sports works.
I mean, you can get recruited straight out from college, or straight out from high school.
Yeah, but it's not common.
I mean, Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, if you are playing...
We can definitely get into a whole weird long conversation about, like...
But
it's a big issue.
Suffice to say that, like, if you're playing on a college football team and you get kicked off that college football team, your chances of becoming a professional football player are not super high.
Yes.
There you go.
But, like...
Shh, y'all. It's a metaphor. Work with it.
It is a little bit, but he's going to school to major in this thing. They don't let people major in football.
No, but they might as well at this point. They always major in things that are, like, vaguely football adjacent. Like,
yeah.
You know.
So, I guess, I mean, she can kick him out. I guess so, but...
That seems weird. And who's paying for school? Like, is he paying for school himself? Like, okay, if his parents are paying for school and he's doing this, his parents would kill him. I just, like, there's so many things that are, like, just a little bit off about that deal that doesn't quite sit right with me. But well, I understand why it is needed.
And it's needed because, like, she does genuinely have the power to kick him out of the scaring school. So it's like she doesn't need to have a bet with him to do that.
Yeah.
So this is where we get introduced to everybody.
Yes.
There's Art.
Art is my favorite.
I like the Terrys.
I can't go back to jail. Art, Terry. What's his name? Squishy?
The dad?
No, the kid with all the eyes whose mom is the house.
Yeah, something like that.
Squishy. Something.
And then there's the dad.
Yeah.
Who is the older student who went back to school.
Yep.
Yeah, I like these guys.
I do, too. The character designs for this movie are really good. They clearly had a lot of fun designing everybody. And I like this kind of pile of misfits that we get.
I like the Terry specifically because it's a very nice combination of being able to function together and still...
having very distinct personalities.
Yes, and having one head control part of a body and one head control the other part of the body. Yeah. So, like... there's not an issue with them having to, like, fall over themselves all the time. It's not that thing. But at the same time, if one wants to do something and the other one doesn't...
that's not going to go well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the first scare game is an obstacle course with things that make you swell if you touch them.
It's a toxicity challenge. What do they call it?
Yes, because anything human child touches is
toxic. Supposedly.
So
they're like sea anemones. They look like they're little spiky things.
Yeah. It's funny.
it's
goofy. And
Mike and Sully are competitive and not paying attention to the rest of their team. And this is more or less our first time seeing some of the other like sororities and frats in action.
Yeah.
they wish the Pinklings luck. Thanks. We're gonna rip you to pieces. That's great.
So Mike and Sully come in second-ish, but you have your whole team has to win, so.
Yep.
Ooze McCaffa comes in last.
And then somebody gets disqualified.
For cheating. And so they come in under the wire, but now have to work together.
Oh, no.
So, oh, no, what will happen?
The next challenge is sneaking through the library.
Yes.
With the librarian. I love the librarian.
Librarian's scary.
She's terrifying.
I like that librarian.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike's solution is everybody do exactly what I do, which results in everybody doing exactly what he does.
Yep. And then it ends up not working at all.
No. And they... So the point of the spirit of the rules is you have to be quiet and sneak through without disturbing anybody.
Right.
The technical rule is you can't get caught by the librarian.
Right.
So they end up adopting the strategy of make a bunch of noise over here, make a bunch of noise over there.
Misdirection.
As long as the librarian doesn't catch anybody, we're golden.
I really also like the announcers for the games. One is Aubrey Plaza. I don't know who the guy is.
He's pumped.
Yeah, he's excited. He's like a super stereotypical jock type guy. And Aubrey Plaza is, of course, like super gothy and unenthused. and I really like those two. Their commentary is great.
Yeah, they're good. So they've won two games, or they've not lost in two games.
Mm-hmm.
So the winning, I guess, four teams are left now?
Yes.
So, because there's five games and each game knocks out one team. So there's 16 yeah, total, the two have lost, four teams girls, left. Girls,
Roar Mega Roar, and
Uzma Kappa.
Uzma Kappa.
So they're invited to a party.
Yeah.
And at which point they carry them, basically.
Yeah.
They dump a bunch of bright colors on them and flowers and stuffed animals because they're not scary, they're cute.
Yeah, I get what they're trying to do here, but, like, for one, it seemed like a very high school thing to do. Like,
yeah,
college kids wouldn't put this much effort into anything, I feel like.
Okay, for one thing, they do take a picture, and they look the cutest they've ever looked that picture.
They look precious.
It is ridiculous how cute that picture is.
But it's also, like, I am not of the opinion that cute things can't be scary. Like, what are baby dolls then? Like, porcelain dolls, are those not scary to you? Because, like, they're scary to everybody else, I feel like. There's a reason Chucky works well.
I was like, we had this discussion during Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
They don't work for me.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know why cute is the direction they went for the season.
Well, for one thing, they're all, like, adorable, goofy-looking monsters.
Yeah.
Like, it's a G-rated Pixar movie. So, like, even the scary things are pretty adorable-looking.
Except for
Dean Hardscrabble. Who's real scary.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess if you're that close to cute your whole time and are supposed to be scary,
then
cute becomes the, like, default bad thing.
Yeah.
Because everybody is, like, shirking the line of cute.
Yeah.
Like, even Roar Omega Roar guys.
Pretty cute.
So,
even the obnoxious little lobstery one.
I like him.
Oh, God, I hated him.
He's funny. So, I'm guessing that's why cute is, like, the big the faux bad. Pas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, to rouse morale, Mike takes them to Monsters Incorporated. They sneak into, like, the scare floor.
Which is honestly, like, a really good little motivational thing.
Yeah, it is.
The thing to get out of it is, like, there's all these scares, and they all look really different.
Yeah.
And to
rely on your strengths.
Is a little bit of the movie being like, look at our character designs. They're crazy. We worked hard on them.
There are so many. I also really love the little moment where What's-His-Face's mom is listening to heavy metal in the car.
Yeah.
That's the best. Just gonna be here listening to my tunes.
So this inspires the team. It's also kind of the first time Sully and Mike see eye to eye.
Friends?
Yeah.
Aw, it's so cute.
So.
And then Art can't go back to jail.
They do have to, like, run away.
Yeah.
So that's fun. So we get some more montage-y stuff.
There's a lot of montage in this
film. There's at least three, I think.
So Cars has a lot of montage. I remember us talking about the Cars montages. There's a lot of them. But for some reason, this movie seems like it goes by way faster. It's about the same length as Cars, I think.
Yeah.
It might just be because they don't like Cars.
I think that's a new problem. They're almost identical in length.
I just felt like this movie went by a lot faster. I think there's a lot more plot to get through.
There's a lot more plot. Cars is a faster paced movie.
Yeah.
Like, because part of it is, like, everything's going fast in Cars.
Yeah, like that's what it's
literally it's a race or an action scene. Like, everything's fast all the time in Cars and Cars 2. So there are a lot more slower moments in this and, like, reflective moments. But there's a lot of plot to get through. I mean, they're getting through a solid year of plot.
Yeah.
It just
went pretty quickly.
And we have five scare games.
Right.
So, you know.
Events.
Yeah, so the ones that don't have important lessons, like the first one and second one and the fifth one have important lessons, but those, you know, three and four really just get through the game. So they kind of crunch those up. The third one is Scare the Kid, Don't Scare the Teen.
Yes.
Which is basically the idea that eventually people will stop being scared of monsters. You don't want to try and scare them after a certain age. And so one of them says, but Daddy, I love him. Which is a direct quote from Little Mermaid. So I'm assuming that's a little bit of a, you know, when you're young and you watch Little Mermaid, you identify with Ariel, and when you're grown up and you watch Little Mermaid, there's this shut up, Ariel. Listen to your dad.
Yeah, seriously, Ariel. Calm down.
So they took this, you know, direct Ariel quote and made it silly.
Yep.
And then the fourth game is hide and seek, basically.
It's hide and seek.
They call it
hide and seek.
Yeah, but it's cute. It is cute, but it's hide and seek.
Yeah, it's not.
Like,
not
there's not like a gimmick or a twist. It's hide and seek.
Yeah, yeah. So at some point, Dean Hardscrabble and Sully have this conversation about how Mike's not scary.
Yeah, it's right there. They're getting ready to go to the scare games. Okay. The final scare game.
The final one. It's a scare simulator, and it's set all the way up to 11.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
And just, Mike's not scary. He's not a scary guy.
Yeah, and he's not really, but like, eh.
I mean,
what I don't understand the most, I think, is that being a scare coach is clearly a job, mm-hmm. because everybody has run.
Were there clear scare coaches?
Yeah.
At Monsters, Inc. at, like, the beginning?
Yeah, like, Randall has one. Randall totally has, like, an assistant or whatever.
No, I know. But I mean, like, at the beginning of this movie, when they're going, are there scare coaches? Like, is it possible?
Probably, yeah.
Is it possible that,
that,
like,
I was created?
Mike invented? Because they do take some time, you know, when they're in the real world, to be like, yeah, Sully's scary, but he is not on the top of his game without Mike being there to coach and guide.
That's fair.
So, I don't know. It's not apparent that if that's what they were going for.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that they, Mike invented this new position.
Well, I feel like,
it's a way they could have gone.
I feel like if not, then wouldn't that route still be part of the scaring program? Like, wouldn't you be in the scaring program and choose one way or the other?
I mean,
doesn't that make sense?
Maybe, but that's the thing is, like,
it's not really talked about, which is strange.
Which leads credence to the, like, Mike invented it,
but that seems
as a scared team.
So silly.
So, which would really suck if they're, like, just starting out that, you know,
yeah,
Mike invented it, so it's a less than, you know, 5-10-year-old position. So you're in, like, the first class of scared coaches, then it's like, nope, we'll do laughter now. Shut it down.
Ugh, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Fine. But they win the scare games. They win the.
This is where they sing the Monsters You song.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
And so, like, the way this scare final competition was, each monster has to individually go in and scare the kid based on what the kid's scared of.
Right.
And so, Mike breaks the record of all time.
Yep.
And everybody's excited and happy. And it comes down to the fact that Sully went in right before Mike.
And turned down the difficulty.
On his one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, just really sad.
It is sad. Nobody likes Sully anymore.
Well, it's sad that he cheated. It's sad that means he didn't win. It's sad that means nobody believes in him. It's sad that it's kind of rocking his world. It's the first time he's genuinely, like, considered this thing I've planned to do since I was, I might not be able to do, just because that's how the, you know, genetic dice were rolled.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's sounding like a lot of levels right there.
It's weird, especially because they don't really talk through it too much as far as, like, you know, yeah, just there's a big portion that it just involves looks in order to do this job, and they like touch on it a little bit, but not a lot, and it's just kind of awkward.
I mean, again, going back to, like, the football metaphor,
yeah,
it's like,
if you're a tiny man, you're not gonna be great at football.
Like, it's just people who aren't built to do the thing that they want to do so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Which sucks.
Not cool.
So, you know, it's rough. And that's part of the thing, with being a prequel.
Yeah.
You know, prequels are hard. There have been people who have said, like, there's no good prequels. You can't make a good prequel.
Yeah.
Which I feel is a little much. I'm not ready to, like, flat my flag on that.
But I think it's way harder than a sequel.
But I'm not sure there's a prequel that has lived up to what the first movie, the movie it's prequeling, accomplished.
Mm.
Just because, like, if there's something important for the first movie, they put it in that movie.
Right.
That's how movies work.
Right, yeah.
So this movie, along with all other prequels, has this hurdle that you really can't get over.
Yeah.
Where the character, Mike's like, I want something. He's like, well, you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
I know that. I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So want it all you want. It's not going to happen.
Sully admits to the dean what happened. And simultaneously, we get Mike sneaking into the door lab to try and prove himself.
Yes.
Sneaks
into a room.
It's a camp cabin.
Yeah. Well, he tries to scare a girl, and it doesn't work at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then
there's, like, 20 kids in that cabin.
And it's terrifying, because kids are still toxic.
Yep.
So I gotta say that Mike's still a weird-looking thing.
I think mostly it's that there are so many kids in that cabin. I think if that girl had been alone, it would have been unsettling for her. Maybe not all that scary, but...
Well, I'm wondering, like, she looks young enough to not know that this is a...
This is not a
normal shape
of a
sentient being. Like, being wary of that. Well, that's the thing with Boo. Boo was just so young, she didn't know...
Doesn't matter.
That these things were scary.
Kitty!
So I feel like Mike might have a better time trying to scare adults.
Yeah.
Like, I know we're not supposed to scare adults. That becomes a big issue in a second.
Yep.
But, like, if a Mike-shaped thing showed up in my bedroom in the middle of the night...
No, thank you. Mm-mm.
Freak me out.
Yep, nope.
Like,
nope,
I don't care that he's goofy, silly-looking. He's still...
It's so funny because, like... Part of the mythos of this universe that they talk about in both these movies is that adults are harder to scare, which I feel like, I am not harder to scare than when I was a child.
I am, like, I feel like there is a certain age where I was probably easiest to scare.
Probably.
Because there's something where it's like, you know, a noise outside meant getting parents.
Yeah.
And at some point, a noise outside meant, you know, gritting my teeth and ignoring it.
That's true. But as far as, like straight up monsters, like, nah, I don't think anything has changed. I think I'd
still freak out. No, if that thing comes out and is like, hi, yo.
Mm-hmm.
No, not about that.
No, I'm done. Mm-hmm.
So Sully breaks in to go after.
Yep.
Mike.
And he finds them, and they have a nice heart-to-heart.
On the side of a lake.
Yeah, with people freaking out. It's fine.
So, they go back. The door has been turned off.
Yeah.
So that nobody else can go through it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they scare adults. Which I guess, they don't state it explicitly.
Mm-hmm.
If adult screams are more powerful than kid screams, or if he just scared a bunch of people all at once, and that's what powered the door.
Maybe, I don't know. They overload, like, the whole room, though. Like, every scream canister in there freaks out.
Yeah. So, it's powerful.
Yeah.
Blows up the door.
Yep.
So, just through screaming.
Just screaming.
But they're still both expelled.
Yeah.
Which I honestly really like.
I do too. Like, she stuck to her guns. She doesn't seem like the type that would be like, no, it's fine. You, like, did a thing.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, they broke the rules. Like, yeah. I'm glad you're okay.
Even more so than previously.
Yeah. I'm glad you're okay. And, you know, and not so much like the you lost the game, you have to honor your side of the bet thing. But, right. Like, you endangered the whole campus.
That's not cool.
Like, we're glad you're okay. You did a really interesting thing that, you know, probably should be explored further. But maybe you can't.
No.
You can't keep going to school. You gotta face punishment. So it's nice that, like, Dean Hardscrabble does, you know, when they're on the bus, she does come and is like, all right, look, you have to leave because expelling, that's how expelling works.
Yeah.
But you did a cool thing and let's...
That's interesting.
Yeah. So you know, don't undersell that. That's still an interesting thing that you can expand on. So I really like that. I really like that she did that.
I do too. It made sense for the character. It made sense in the context. Mm-hmm. And it meant that the ending was a little bit more interesting than just tied up neatly.
Well, it's a college movie.
Mm-hmm.
And college movies basically have the frat that gets under the dean's skin because, like,
gets kicked off campus.
They won't sell their house to make a prettier date or
whatever.
They, you know, won't do whatever. Hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, then they party too hard and then they party harder and that, like, undermines the dean's authority because the super dean was visiting he was at the party school.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like you're all fine. So
it was not that
I like that they didn't do that.
Yeah. They didn't take the easy way out.
So way back at the beginning, somebody was teasing him and said, there's always work at the mailroom.
Dean Hardscrabble. She was reading the paper.
And so they go and work in the mailroom.
Yep.
And
with the abominable snow.
With the abominable snowman.
He probably got banished for tampering with mail, which is weird to think about.
That's John Ratzenberger's thing.
Yeah.
These two right here, the Cars 2 and Monsters University, are like, he has so few lines because he has a character that he has to, reprise. But this character is not relevant.
Not relevant at all.
To this movie. So he's like, here I am. Here's my line.
Yep. Yeah.
You go and check that off of the box.
It's funny. But they move up from there. They move from mail workers to janitors to cafeteria workers. Which, like, honestly, I don't think that's a good progression. I feel like being a mail worker is better than being a janitor.
I think janitors get to be on the scare floor.
Oh, okay.
So they're moving in physical proximity.
In that direction.
Closer to the scares and the scare floor.
Yeah.
And then they win, like, a scaring open mic night, basically.
Yeah, which is funny.
Which gets them the scare job.
Yeah.
Which
is exactly how they tried to get back into the program, basically. So
it's
a nice little parallel there.
So, it's cute. There's a couple of things in the locker. The whole end of the movie is done through newspaper clippings and pictures.
Yeah, it's really
that
cute.
That Mike has stored in his locker.
Really cute.
There's one that's like a napkin with a number from Celia that says, call me.
Yeah.
So a nice little
there's a picture
to that. There's a picture of whatever, Sala, who's the main head honcho of the, what's his name, the crab man?
Oh, I don't remember.
I can't remember his name.
I can't remember either.
But he's got like
a mustache
and beard.
Yeah.
Kind of, he's younger.
I don't remember his name, I don't know.
And so there's, I like that ending. I like that little,
I do too.
There you go.
Nice little progression. And I really like this song.
Yeah.
It's a good song through the ending credits.
Monsters University was really interesting. It did have some of the hang-ups that prequels have.
Yeah, that's fair.
And it also had the issue that Monsters, Inc. is an insanely complete movie.
It is very,
like,
very.
Very done. Much, you know, like, everything from beginning, middle, end, it tells a story that is so wrapped up nicely that there's not really a way to, like, poke and be like, what's some more you got here? Like, Toy Story, really, like, it's really easy to be like, oh, what else is in this Toy Story world?
Yeah, yeah.
And you have this, like, at the end of 2, they're like, but Andy will grow up someday. But now it's okay. And then be like, okay, there's a thing.
It's it really is.
When you return to the world of Toy Story, it's really easy to be like, this is what we'll address.
Right. But there's not that easy progression.
There's not that with Monsters, Inc. in either direction. Like, I think prequel was the way to go.
Yeah.
But it's still not that easy, like...
No.
There aren't some questions... There aren't any questions like, where did this come from, I wonder?
I think they did a really good job with making it its own movie, though. I never felt like it was, like, super, super lacking in things to do or whatever. There's definitely a lot of plot to get through. And, like, a lot of my curiosity for Monsters, Inc. was just further world building more than anything else. And so we did get quite a bit of that as far as, you know, life on campus and what all sorts of different monsters look like and a little bit more of that. So I think that's all I really wanted out of that movie, and that's what I got. Yeah. I was like, okay, that's good.
We Well, we had this. It's like Cars 2 in that they're like, we're returning to the world, but we want to do a fill in the blank movie. Like, that's spy true. Movie there that's and college true. Movie here. So it's like, we want to do a college movie, but we have these characters that, you know, you want to return to. So we kind of combined those two concepts of like, here's a college movie.
Yeah. And here's that sequel we wanted.
Getting to be, I'm sure. Making monster designs is, like, the most fun thing.
It looks like it.
Like, you know, doing character design on cars is like, well, this one looks like a car.
This one looks like this kind of car.
This one looks like a truck.
Ooh.
So, like, yeah, if you're into cars, that's a lot of fun. And a lot of people, I'm sure, are into cars over at Pixar. But, like, monsters is like, let's just...
Whatever.
All right, here we
horns,
go.
Feathers, tails, who knows? It's magic.
So, I think it was a lot more fun. Obviously, you'll want to return to and get to do that more.
Yeah.
So I do really like it. It's, I think, also one of the, I guess it's one of the weaker Pixar movies, but again, is like, there's nothing to complain about.
Yeah, it was good.
And so
I don't know. It wasn't like exemplary, but it wasn't bad either. And I really liked the character interactions. I liked seeing Mike and Sully younger. I liked...
My biggest complaint is that it was unnecessary, but I don't really mean that in a bad way.
Yeah, I mean, there was no need to make it, but that didn't mean I didn't enjoy it.
But, like, yeah, there's no complaint about the movie.
No.
There's no complaint about, you know, the... plot structure.
Everybody was well in character, so it wasn't anything weird where, like, you watch this prequel and it's like, who's this person? Oh, that person that I left from that second movie is just... Mm.
Yeah.
So that was fine. It's good. I liked it.
It was good. I really liked it. We also get a snail. Or a slug.
Oh, that was guy. So cute. They waited so long to do that joke.
Halfway, like, beginning of the movie, he's trying to get to class, he can't be late on his first day, and he runs and runs and runs, and he's going to the slug because he's a slug, and that's the joke. And they stay on this for so long.
Forever.
Watching him run as fast as he can.
Forever.
And then they have a little post-credits tag of him finally making it to class.
Finally making it to class, and the semester's over.
So, and he's gotta go back home.
So cute.
Poor guy.
I just wanna stay. Screw it.
All right, next time we're going to be doing Inside Out.
Yep.
Which, holy crap, I'm excited about that. Inside Out's my favorite since WALL-E.
Yeah.
Easy, I'm so looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's a good choice.
So, all right, until next time. Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.